everyone who's watching online as well. If you're watching online, write something in the comments so that we know who is with us. And also, if you're watching online, you need to come and get here by 12 o'clock. We have some excitement happening. So Christmas in Gadsden is happening on Thursday the 22nd, and it's going to be here in the sanctuary. It's going to be great. It's cookies and carols. So there's going to be hot chocolate and cookies in the hallway, and we're just going to sing lots of Christmas carols in the sanctuary. It's a great time to invite friends and families to come join us. It'll be great. Next Sunday is a combined service at 11 a.m., so don't get a crazy idea and think you're going to early service next week, because we're all going to be together at 11, all right? So come at 11 o'clock. It's going to be a chancel choir Christmas. It's going to be great. Lots of great music. It's going to be awesome, isn't it, choir? It's going to be awesome. I've heard them practicing. They're fantastic. Our United Methodist Women have Christmas cards that you can pick up in the Chestnut Lobby, so you'll want to check that out after service. This is a huge announcement. I mean, when I saw JT in the hallway, he was so excited. At 12 o'clock, after this service, you know who's going to be here? Choir, do you know who's going to be here after service at 12 o'clock upstairs in the gathering room? Santa Claus, I know. So, yes, you want to be here. If you're watching online, get here by 12 o'clock to have, they're going to have lunch and everything with Santa. At 3 o'clock today, come back to church. The children's musical, Go Tell It on the Mountain, is happening. That's going to be fantastic. So those were all very fun and exciting announcements. This is my least favorite announcement I ever have to make, all right? After the service, this giant pulpit has to be moved. So if you're strong, stay with us for just 5 minutes, and we're going to move this, and there's a cart, it slides out, but we're going to do that right after the service, all right? And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, we are so thankful that we can come together and worship this morning. We pray that you will calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was one of the house of the lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Dear Jesus, you entered our world on Christmas as the Prince of Peace. This Advent, as we strive to become the best version of ourselves, fill us with a deep and abiding peace. Help us share that peace with everyone we encounter, especially those who need it most. Amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join us in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, Jared. Wasn't that great? Don't you love great music? Then you've got to come next Sunday at 11 o'clock to hear the Christmas musical by the Chancel Choir and orchestra and who knows what all you're going to get to hear. This is the time that we have set aside for our giving. I'm just going to do a little reminder about your generosity card. If you haven't filled it out, sent it in yet. There's a table out here in the Chestnut Lobby that you can grab one if you just want to go ahead and do it now while it's on your mind. Okay? Go ahead and do that. We have a theme this year of strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And we have so many strengths in this wonderful church, and we need bright hope for tomorrow. So you could be a part of that. Let's pray. God, you have always been faithful to us. Your faithfulness and is amazing. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. So thank you for your provision to us. Thank you for making us able to give tithes and offerings. Thank you for giving us strength and talents and the courage to use those talents to be a blessing to others. We take all of this and we offer it up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here during this time of prayer, and I want to just say hello to you who are worshiping with us by live stream, and This prayer time is for you too. We care about your needs. We care about hearing about your answers to prayer. So you can send those to us. You can email them to us. You can jot them on a card and give them to us. And we will pray for you. We'll pray with you. Sometimes, I was just thinking about it, sometimes we just kind of limp through Advent because sometimes we don't feel the best, and sometimes we're grieving, and sometimes we have all of these things that have changed in our lives over the last year, and we need help and we need grace. So God is faithful and will provide grace and help in time of our time of need. So will you pray with me this morning? God, for all of those who are hurting today, whether it's physically or emotionally, or those who are grieving, we lift them up to you because this can be a difficult time of the year. For those who are celebrating, we rejoice with them because this is a time of celebration. It's a time of excitement. And God, if we are just kind of warming up to the season of Advent, I pray that you would stir the embers inside of our hearts so that we too can find the joy of this season, find the peace of this season, and find the hope of this season. God, we thank you for the ways that you have blessed us. We have so many blessings, we can't even count them all. Thank you for your healing, for your grace. Thank you for your redemption, which we are reminded of when we see that baby lying in a manger. Thank you for delivering us, Lord, from our problems and for our bright hope that we have for the future. God, teach us today to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples when you said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We have such an awesome kids program here in the church, and as these fantastic kids bebop their way with Miss Catherine to Children's Church, I want you to take a look at them, and I want you to also remember that if you come back at 3 o'clock today, you get to hear them sing, and that is going to be awesome. That'll definitely warm your heart. Now we who remain will stand up together as God makes us able and sing number 211, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." Isaiah chapter 7 is our scripture today. The prophecy that was given by Isaiah to King Ahaz, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16 is our scripture today. And I invite you to follow along with me or turn over there in your Bibles and let's read together. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall call and shall name him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and to choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When we sang O Come Emmanuel earlier, I don't know if you noticed the different names that are used to refer to Jesus in the Bible. And also in Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, you see some of these names. Jesus was the second Adam, the Alpha and the Omega, the Ancient of Days, the author and finisher of our faith, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Bread of Life, Bright and Morning Star, Chief Cornerstone, Son of the Living God, the Door of the Sheepfold, the Desire of All Nations, the Faithful Witness, the Firstborn of the Dead, the Friend of Sinners, the Great High Priest, the Holy One of God, the Light of the World, the Lily of the Valley. Are you starting to get the picture? There are lots of names in the Bible that refer to Jesus, names, titles, different ways that Jesus is known by. I counted 217 in the study Bible that I was looking for, different names or titles that Jesus is known by. And I'm going to preach all 217 of them today. That was just a joke. You're supposed to smile now. Now, from now until Christmas morning, we're just going to look at four of those names in particular and talk about what they mean for us about how we know Jesus during the season of Advent and all the way up to Christmas. Today, we're going to look at Emmanuel, God is with us. Then we're going to, after our Christmas cantata the week following that, we'll look at the Son of Man. On Christmas Eve, we'll look at Jesus is Lord, and then on Christmas Day, we will look at Jesus is Savior. I hope that you'll take advantage of all of the Advent activities, all the special things that we're doing this year, because they help to get us ready. They honestly help us to make room in our busy schedules and our own stuff that we're dealing with, our own baggage, to find room for the Christ of Christmas, which is the whole purpose of Advent, to get ready. So today, Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The name Emmanuel had a very special meaning, a very deep meaning and powerful meaning in the 8th century BC when Isaiah was making this prophecy. In Isaiah's time, Emmanuel was offered as a sign, and it was offered as a sign to King Ahaz. And Thursday night when I was preaching this, Pastor Andy, I said King Ahab. But Ahab was the Arab sheik of burning sand. So I got mixed up a little bit. But it's Ahaz. Ahaz was king of Judah. And he and his fellow leaders, his people, were scared to death at this moment. Because they found out that King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah of Israel, the two giant country armies, had come together to form an alliance, and they were all going to attack Jerusalem. So two countries that normally were enemies had joined together to fight against the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. And they were super scared. In verse 2 of chapter 7, it says that the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. So that's how shaky and scared they were that these two armies were coming against them. So God said, don't worry, I've got this. And he sent Isaiah the prophet, and he told Ahaz these words. I want you to listen carefully to these. Here's what he told Ahaz. Ahaz, God says, take heed, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. That's what he says in verse 4. And I'm sure Ahaz was like, what do you mean, take heed? What do you mean, be quiet? What do you mean, don't be afraid? What do you mean, don't let my heart faint? This is a perfect time to panic, because two armies are coming, and they're going to knock a hole in the city wall, and they're going to come in, and they're going to trample us down, and they're going to defeat us. This is a perfect time for us to faint with fear. So God did something that, to me, sounds a little bit strange. He moved near toward Ahaz. Instead of going the other way, he moved near toward Ahaz. And the reason I say that's weird, because Ahaz was a terrible king. I mean, that's not just my opinion. That's what Scripture says, that Ahaz did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the faith of his ancestor David. He put idols under every green tree and on every high hill. He was a bad king. The best thing that Ahaz ever did was to have his son Hezekiah, which was a great king. But otherwise, he stunk as a king. But still, God was with his people, Judah, and God was not going to abandon Jerusalem. And so God moved in and said, Ahaz, you can trust me. In fact, I want you to ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign. And maybe because Ahaz was such a rotten king, he thought, I better not do that. And he said, I'm not going to ask you for a sign, Lord. I'm not going to ask you. I'm just not going to do it. And Ahaz heard something from God that I used to hear when I was a little boy, and I had just about driven my dad crazy. He would say, boy, you are wearing me out. And I was. Now I see that. And God said to Ahaz, boy, you are wearing me out. You didn't ask for a sign. I'm going to give you one anyway. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. A young woman's pregnant right now. She's going to have a child. They're going to name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And before that child is weaned, before he knows right from wrong, both of those nations that are allied to come against you, Israel and Syria, will be desolate. So I have moved near you. Your sign is God is with you, so you don't have to fear. That's what the sign Emmanuel meant. That was the prophecy. Things looked terrible. They looked awful. The bottom was about to fall out. But God said, take heed, which is another way of saying just listen. Be quiet. In other words, stop just complaining all the time, Ahaz. Just close your mouth. Don't fear. Don't faint. I know it looks bad, but I'm with you. With you, not against you. With you, not far, far away. That was the 8th century BC. Now, the thing about Old Testament prophecies, a lot of times it has a near fulfillment and then a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment in Isaiah's day was that a woman was literally going to give birth to a son. They're going to name him Emmanuel. And it was a sign that God had not abandoned Jerusalem, that God was with them. The far fulfillment would take place centuries later, the first century AD, when a child was brought forth and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Okay, so the deep meaning for Jesus' time. You know the Christmas story, don't you? You know the Christmas story when the angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew goes on in verses 22 and 23 to connect together the first century AD to the 8th century BC, to connect those two lines together. And he says this, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah when he said, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. The Word made flesh. I bet you've heard this verse quoted, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what Emmanuel is. That's what Emmanuel means. I love the way Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, puts John 1:14. Maybe you've never heard this before. I just love this. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. I don't know. That just makes me happy to think of that. God moving into the neighborhood with us, right beside us. And God didn't pick the swankiest neighborhood to move into, did he? I mean, at the time in the 8th century B.C., when Isaiah was writing this, it was a dangerous neighborhood. I mean, armies were bearing down. People were scared. They had, a broken past and a grieving present and an uncertain future. And God moved in anyway. And then the neighborhood that Jesus lived in, Nazareth, wasn't the fanciest of neighborhoods. As a matter of fact, it was kind of like a podunk little town. And again, Rome had come in and had crushed and was occupying the area, and the Roman Empire seemed like they were undefeatable. They had a broken past. They had a grieving present. They had an uncertain future, and God moved in the neighborhood anyway. This place, this neighborhood that Jesus moved to, it seemed like a perfect time to panic. But once again, God said, I'm moving toward you. And once again, the message was, take heed, be quiet, don't be afraid, don't let your heart faint with fear. Isn't that powerful? Isn't Emmanuel powerful as a message? And you know what? It's not just for the 8th century B.C. or the 1st century A.D. It's for the 21st century neighborhood too. Emmanuel is powerful for you and for me today. This world today needs Emmanuel. Because it looks like God wouldn't want to move into this neighborhood. To be honest with you, it looks like if God saw what's going on in our world, he would just say, okay, I'm skipping this Milky Way galaxy and I'm moving on to another one. I think I'll move somewhere else. Because we also have a broken past. We also have a grieving present. And Lord knows we have an uncertain future. We don't know what's going to happen. But God has chosen, in solidarity with us, in the most intimate way possible, to take on human flesh and to move into the hood right with us. Now, I'm an educated person, but I don't even pretend to understand how that takes place, how the incarnation, how the Word becomes flesh and moves into the neighborhood. I don't understand it, I just believe it. Because not only do I just believe it, I have experience. I believe it on an experiential level, that God is with us, that Jesus has promised to be with us where two or three are gathered, to be in our midst, his promise to be with us and never leave us or forsake us. I've experienced that, haven't you? In wonderful celebrations and in moments of soaring praise, we experience the presence of God. In the moments of deep sadness and brokenness and regret, we experience the presence of God. While we are helping other people, we see Jesus in the face of those that we're helping. When others help us, we feel the hands and arms of Jesus reaching out to us. The presence of God moving toward us, not away from us. Even on our worst days, God is with us. A friend of mine who's a United Methodist pastor, he's retired now. His name's Coy Hallmark. And Coy and I worked together many years ago, and I've just known him for forever. He grew up on the other end of the county where I grew up, and we grew up together, far apart, in the same county, and similar backgrounds. I grew up in the country. He grew up in the country. He told me about going to see his grandmother. His grandmother had an outhouse. Raise your hand if you know what an outhouse is. Is that just about everybody? If you don't know what an outhouse is, ask somebody that raised their hand. They'll explain it to you. It's an experience, I'll tell you what. So he's out at his grandmother's house. He's behind the outhouse because he's hiding. He's doing something that every parent ever told their child not to do, playing with matches. Don't do this. Don't, children watching, don't do this. Don't play with matches. There's a reason that you're told not to play with matches, because it sets stuff on fire, JT. Did you know that? And Coy set the grass on behind the outhouse on fire. At first, he thought it was really cool. I have made me a fire. And then he noticed that the fire was getting closer and closer to the outhouse, and he thought, I'm about to burn down Mamaw's outhouse, and that's not going to be good. So he started doing the only thing he needed to do, which was the stomp thing, you know, to try to stomp out the fire, and he was having some luck and then not some luck. And he just stomped, and he got up right up next to the outhouse, and he was stomping particularly hard to try to get the fire out before it got to the outhouse. And the ground gave way, and he went down into the pit of despair. Up to his waist in waste. And he, of course, was scared to death. It was dark. It was yucky. He was panicked. He was just a kid screaming and crying and just struggling. And he finally managed to crawl himself out of there. And then he was walking across the yard like this, just dripping and crying, tears just streaming down. And his grandmother heard all the commotion and came out of the house, and across the yard she starts. And Coy said there's a moment where his grandmother sees him and he sees her, and in that instant he thought, she's going to be so mad at me. She's either, here I'm covered with all this stuff, she's either going to hold her nose and run away because I smell so bad, or she's going to go cut a switch. How many of you know what it means to go cut a switch? Either way, it's not going to be good. He thought, this is not going to end well. Instead of that, his grandmother ran to him and wrapped him up in a hug and let him cry it out, right? And then said, come on, let's get you cleaned up. See, that's what I think about when I think about Emmanuel. Even on our worst days, God has every right to be repelled by us because of our own stupid things that we do, because of all of the debris that we're covered with. Instead, God runs to us and wraps us up and lets us cry it out and says, come on now, let's get you cleaned up. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right because I'm with you. I'm with you. Sometimes we get a picture in our mind of God as an angry old man with a long white beard, you know. And God is always wanting to cut a switch. And maybe God has even said to us, if you get your life all cleaned up, then maybe we'll talk then. But let this be a sign to all of us, Emmanuel, which means God comes to us. God moves into the neighborhood. God holds us close. God lets us cry it out, and God says, come on now, let's get you cleaned up. I'm not repelled by you. I'm drawing near. I'm not angry with you. I love you. And I understand. How could God possibly understand what you're going through, what I'm going through, what person in the Ukraine is going through? Well, because God has already done whatever it took to make a relationship with him possible, taking on human flesh, Emmanuel, born as a sign that God is with us. In life, in death, in life after death, God is with us. Now, I wouldn't be much of a Methodist preacher if I didn't throw a John Wesley quote out there every now and then. So I'm gonna throw one on you this morning. This is, as you know, if you need to know about John Wesley's life, even if you're just interested in history. He had a remarkable life, many high points, wonderful things, but many struggles, lots of family drama, lots of failure to go with his successes. And on his last days, he was on his deathbed, his last words were, "The best of all is, God is with us." Those were John Wesley's last words. The best of all is, God is with us. Well, I'm going to have to agree with him on this one too, because I do think that is the best of all. How could it get any better than God is with us? Let us pray. God, thank you for wrapping yourself in human flesh and moving into our neighborhood. It's sometimes a scary neighborhood. Sometimes it's just broken and grieving. It's certainly uncertain when we think about the future that we don't know about. And yet you move in and you reach out and you wrap us up and you say to us, "Come on, let's get you cleaned up." Thank you, Lord, for being with us, not against us. Thank you for being with us, not repelled and far away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to stand and join with me as we sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is number 230, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Will you stand as you're able? Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in the knowledge that God is with us. Amen.